Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, Dave.
You got a coin?
Sure.
All right, can you...
You know I always keep change around me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a change guy.
Because you use coins for so many things, like scratching off lottery tickets, stealing license plates, hucking at old people.
They're,
you know, just filling them in a sock so you can have a nice go-to weapon just for personal defense. You know, there's no limit to the uses that a lot of spare change has.
God, you're so right, Tom. Mm-hmm. Could you do me a favor? Could you flip that coin for me?
Sure can. Hold on. Tails.
Tails, you said.
I did say tails.
Okay, well, let's have the intro sound come up. There we go. Hi, my name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Judge Dredd.
Yeah, we did! Oh, shit!
Holy crud. He's a sitting duck out there.
He knows what he's doing.
The law! Drop your weapon! These plots are under arrest!
Okay, so as you might have suspected, this is a Thursday we just watched, which means it was brought to us by a Patreon subscriber. This is...
Right, it was decreed.
Yes, demanded upon us by Nolan Matten, who told us, who gave us a little decision because, you know, he's got one of them god complexes at this point. He'll make us choose our fate. So he had us flip a coin, and
He's a real trickster god.
Yeah, he is. Heads was heads was Dredd. The new Dredd movie, and Tails was Judge Dredd, the 90s Sylvester Stallone film. Yeah. And so you all know what we chose.
Yes, what fate chose for us.
Yeah. I have a lot of notes. Tom, it's a weird question, because I know both of us have watched this movie tons of times.
Yeah.
But what did you think of Judge Dredd? Sorry.
Oh, man. Well, I mean... I think everyone knows my feelings about Judge Dredd. No.
Right. Is it hard to remove yourself from it, like to objectively look at this film in terms of quality?
Not really, because I honestly didn't really watch it that much in the 90s. I watched it a few times in the 90s, but...
Same here. And we watched it once on our... we have a Patreon tier where we watch movies, and we sort of half-watched it on that. This was the first time in a long time that I sat... And I made myself pay
just
attention.
Just really paid attention to 1994's Judge Dredd.
Yeah. I don't think it's a good movie.
No, by no means.
I do think it's entertaining to talk about.
Oh, yeah. It's an entertaining film.
Yeah, because it's got a lot of details that are some of which very baffling.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed this movie unironically as an 11-year-old boy.
Sure.
It was right up my alley. I like that it's sort of the culmination of all of the movies that Stallone and then, you know, Schwarzenegger and Van Damme and the like made throughout the 1980s and into the 1990s, where they were all proto-fascists. Like, every single 80s action hero is a fascist.
Oh, yeah, and this is...
And this ends with a big parade celebrating fascism.
Yeah, it's not self-aware, which is hilarious.
Not at all.
Because the comics, I believe, are self-aware.
Very much so. The comics are very grim.
Yeah. Jumping ahead a little bit, he executes James Remar, which... No,
yeah, but they couldn't even do that correctly.
That's
like James
what I was
going
to get to, yeah.
Okay.
Where he says the punishment is death. And so you think that's going to be a dark moment, the idea being, like, in the remake Dread, they have the same moment where he's like, punishment's death, and she has to execute a man.
He just executes him in the street.
Yeah, an unarmed man. Yeah. In this, they can't do it because he has to be the good guy.
He instinctively has to still be Stallone.
So he says the punishment is death, and then James Remar does that classic 90s thing where he pulls out a weapon, forcing the good guy to kill him.
Right, but Dredd was going to kill him anyway.
Anyway, yeah. But for some reason, that makes it okay. This is also, beginning of this movie, fucking James Remar. Can't stress enough that James Remar shows up. Very briefly.
Briefly.
But also, James Earl Jones does the opening
narrates
intro.
Narrates the opening theme. Oh, the opening credits. Yeah,
yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah.
Cause
also, James Remar is wielding, I believe, a pulse rifle from Aliens.
Oh, my God. So they just don't know what they're doing at this point.
No, well, I mean, you know, they reuse science fiction props a lot.
Sure, yeah.
The thing about that is in James Earl Jones's opening thing, he says that the judges are judges, jury, and executioner. But a huge part of this movie's plot hinges on the fact that Dredd did not execute Rico.
Right.
Like they
There's
keep
a
bringing
lot of weird
up that
loopholes.
Like he's like he judged his own best friend, and we come to learn that Rico's actually his brother. It's like, oh, he judged his own brother, but he didn't.
Well,
because
did
he didn't execute him.
Well, was he supposed to execute him, or was he just
yes.
Okay. So why was Rico in jail?
Rico's crime, exactly. Rico's okay. crime was killing a bunch of civilians. And normally, in the way that this character works, and the way that we're told he works in the beginning, is that he would have executed Rico on the spot.
Right.
Like, there's that. There are that you don't go to court in this universe. That's the whole
unless
point.
Unless you're a judge. For some reason, they go to court. Judges
and then
they have some weird fucking rules around the judge.
Right. And they have
a retiring judge gets one last wish for some reason.
He gets to make a wish. But they have like, Max von Sydow's like, the Rico should have been executed. I signed the order myself. It's like, okay, so what? So how come, like, Rico's for the plot to work, for nobody to know that Rico is still alive except for Jürgen Prochnow, we're getting very ahead of ourselves, but
well, yeah,
in order for the plot, I'm just stressing that in order for the plot to work, the bad guy has to get like a 20th century trial process.
Right. I would argue that literally nothing in this film makes sense. First, just while we're on the beginning real quick, I love that it starts with shots of the comic books to remind us of what it's completely shitting on. But
I think that was a deliberate move by whatever studio put this out, because Judge Dredd at the time was a pretty obscure comic. It still
right,
is
they
kind
were probably
obscure.
Just like, hey, yeah, remind everybody this is a comic. No, but every detail about this world is insane. The right away, the Statue of Liberty is in this city, which I think
just
is
in the
Aspen. They say he's going to Aspen to
well,
go to
Aspen's
jail.
Well, Aspen's the penal colony, yeah.
So they're not in New York, are they?
We don't really know where they are.
Okay, because there's two possibilities. Either they brought the Statue of Liberty there,
mm-hmm.
or we're seeing New York, and they built around the Statue of Liberty. Either way, they treat it like it's just any old building. Like, it's just in the middle of the city. It's not protected.
No.
It's, like, falling apart.
It's in disrepair. We do hear a bit of dialogue that the Statue of Liberty was moved to a spot in the city.
Okay.
And that's where Diane Lane last noticed a power surge.
Okay. So they moved it.
But it's still, I mean, obviously it's not, they didn't build around the Statue of Liberty, because the Statue of Liberty is in the middle of the harbor. Like, it's surrounded by water.
Right. Well, I assume this was a world where, like, you know, all the oceans dried up.
Yeah, it's the cursed earth or whatever. So I think there's pockets of mega cities around. But we really don't have any idea in terms of within the film. Like, they may tell you this in the comics, but we don't know where in the continental United States this city is.
Right.
And they're traveling to and from the Aspen Penal Colony via spaceship. So who fucking knows how far away they are?
It's, yeah.
I mean, it could be New York. I don't know.
I don't know. It's madness. And then the fact of the film makes a really, it makes a really bad judgment call right away. Which is my favorite. It really sets the tone for the film. Is it opens with Rob Schneider.
Oh, this movie hangs so much on Rob Schneider.
This film bet it all on the fact that we would enjoy Rob Schneider in
this
movie.
He's our in.
Yeah.
He's the audience.
He's our everyman. Yeah.
To the point where I started this up when Marina was watching the first bit of it with me over my shoulder.
Sure.
Rob Schneider comes in. He's just gotten out of prison, but he's a young guy. This is 1994, so Rob Schneider's maybe 30.
Right.
So it's like he's coming into the city to get his, you know, to get his new living arrangements or whatever. And as he's flying around, he's mesmerized by all the sights. Because he's supposed to be the audience proxy, but it doesn't make sense for this character to be dazzled by this unless, like, he's been in prison for 150 years.
Yeah, or unless he was, like, born in prison.
Right.
Because he thinks, what's the name of Heavenly something?
Heavenly Haven, yeah.
Heavenly
so he
Haven.
Knows, like, he knows he nothing sees... about this. He knows exactly as much about the city as we do. And the reason I brought up that Marina was watching it over my shoulder is because like I didn't catch that at first, and she's like, wait, how long was he supposed to be in prison? I'm like, oh yeah, you're right, this doesn't make sense.
No, nothing about the movie makes
sense. Why would he be blown away by this futuristic city that he's existed in his entire life?
And then he thinks that Heavenly Haven is gonna be this like really nice place, this guy who's being let out of prison and given a free apartment. It's so
why
weird.
On earth would he think that?
Yeah,
it's like, no, your apartment's gonna be a shithole infested by James Remar.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, that's just your due when you get out of prison.
He's gonna be on the corner of Abbott and Costello.
He sure is.
Which was another one of those things where it's like, why would they do that? Why would the movie do that? Because Abbott and Costello, that's the only place that street, those, that intersection's gonna be interesting. Otherwise, throughout the city, they just have streets named Abbott and Costello that don't, the only place they intersect is in this shithole place.
I was looking, the only other street sign we see in the movie is like 21st Street.
What the fuck?
I'm like, okay, so it's like 21st Street and then Abbott and Costello Lane. Like, what the fuck is this city?
It's just the writer was just, I assume, on cocaine, just throwing out every goddamn thing he could think of.
It's William Wisher and Stephen D'Souza.
Huh. And on cocaine.
Yeah. Who have written some pretty righteous films.
Right.
And then this.
Rob Schneider shows up at the Block War with James Remar, hides in a food recycling machine. Sylvester Stallone shows up in his first line of the movie. Do you know what his first line is? Do you remember?
I forget.
It's, I am the law.
Throw down
and
your weapons.
And immediately I realized why. I don't know who made the decision. I assume Stallone. But I realized why it was a good idea that he takes off his helmet in this movie, even though he's not supposed to. It's because otherwise he's just a mouth just spewing the most incoherent sentences ever.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they needed his eyes. They needed his eyes. I don't know how his gun could possibly understand what he's saying.
He's like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I want to, just so we're all clear, I want to point out the movies that William Wisher and Stephen D'Souza have written.
Okay.
William Wisher wrote he's got co-writing credit on Terminator and Terminator 2.
Jesus.
Steven D'Souza wrote Die Hard.
Oh, right.
48 Hours.
Oh, my God.
Things went
real bad for him, I believe. Yeah. Didn't it, like, around this time, what else was he writing?
Street Fighter.
Yeah. All but the classics.
I just wanted to point that out.
That's fair. So, Rob Schneider goes back to jail because he's got Paschetti on him.
Yeah, he monkeyed with a food recycling robot that conspicuously has Rob Schneider's voice the first time you pass it, and it's,
does it?
It does.
Jesus.
Just so that he can do this bit later where he's hiding inside the robot.
Okay.
And imitating the voice.
And this is going to be the arc. This is going to be the fascism, which is that he puts him
in jail for tampering
with this machine.
Yeah, he throws him in prison for tampering with a trash can. For two years, or five years.
Yeah, for the record, we as the audience are supposed to be like, well, that's not right. Meanwhile, we don't care that he executed James Remar. They want the audience to care about Rob Schneider. They don't want us to care that he executed James Remar.
No, and I want to point out that James Remar and his cronies that are initiating this block war against the judges are anti-fascists.
Jesus Christ. He's fighting Antifa?
Yeah, they are anti-fascist resistance.
Oh, no. Guys, it's the future.
Yeah.
It's the future the socialists want. This is it. Fucking Judge Dredd.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. What a film.
Like, this movie gets part of it. The movie understands that it's not fair to send Rob Schneider to jail tinkering with a garbage can to hide from gunfire.
Right. That's what's so funny about it, is because the movie's painfully not self-aware in the sense that it's doing a movie that's based off a comic book pointing out that, like, this fascism is bad, but they miss the obvious thing, which is the executioner thing. They're like, okay, this guy's judge, jury, executioner. That's all well and good, but every now and then he makes a bad call. So we should have his arc be about how, you know, you shouldn't hurt the little guy.
It's almost as if no single entity should have all that power.
Right. But, like, killing James Remar, that's fine. He
pulled out a gun.
Oh, was it a gun?
Yeah, he had another gun.
It's so funny how, like, they just brush up against the point.
Yeah, just completely miss it. Now I'm thinking about his gun not being able to understand him.
This is Odenheiser.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to say that again.
I'm sorry. Why did I get this guy?
God's like, please repeat.
No, there's no way a gun's going to understand the gun.
This is Hotshot.
It sounds like you're saying Hotshot.
Dear God.
Can somebody else please translate?
He has to get, like, a second judge just to yell at his gun.
Like, the criminals have to chip in. Yeah, no, he said Hotshot.
Right, it's like in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
They have the interpreter.
Yeah.
The technology in this is hilarious because soon after we get to see the prison system, which is the funniest prison system I've ever seen in my life. We see Rico in jail and he's got a force field around him, and the warden, I believe, shows up and he's like, hey, you got a package. I didn't check the package, so I'm just going to hand it to you. So he turns off the force field and he's like, turn on the auto turrets. And the auto turrets come up, and so you think, like, oh, how is he going to get out of this? Because you know he's going to break out. And he hands him the package, and the package is just a gun.
It's his badge and a picture of that journalist.
Yeah, and the journalist who's pointing out that Judge Dredd is bad.
Who's pointing out that all the judges are bad.
Right, who's correct. But again, we don't spend too much time on him.
We never mention the murder of the reporter.
No, yeah.
After Dredd goes to jail, we don't talk about it. We don't talk about any of the reports he was making.
It's just the inciting incident. It's like whatever he was talking about didn't matter.
Nope.
So then the package turns into a gun.
Yeah, it like assembles into a gun.
He then shoots the warden in the neck. So what you'd expect now, since he armed the auto turrets, would be the auto turrets to do what an auto turret you'd expect to do in this moment and shoot Rico.
Yes.
They don't.
No.
They just sit there. And the warden has to scream at the auto turrets to fire. And the auto turrets are like voice not identified. And they just blow away the warden.
Right. They shoot the voice they don't recognize.
What the fuck kind of jail is that? It's the dumbest escape I've ever seen.
It's like... It's 8% of the dumbest escape you've ever seen because we don't see the other 92%, which is how in the Christ does he get out of Aspen and get all the way to the fucking city?
The guards are only there. It's like they're avoiding Rico. Like there's a part later where Rico just shoots up the entire council.
Yeah.
And that meanwhile, all the bad guys are like screaming at each other, and there's a giant robot clunking around the council. And so they're like they're at this for like 5 minutes. He shoots them all up, and then Judge Dredd walks in. They talk for a while, and Rico shoots himself, and then the guards walk in. And he's like, "It's Judge Dredd. He shot everybody." And it's like, "What? Were you guys on break? Where the fuck were you this whole time?"
It's not. Rico doesn't shoot himself. Jürgen Prochnow shoots himself.
Oh, okay.
Remember, Jürgen Prochnow is the crooked Supreme Court judge who wants...
Jesus, what is he doing in this movie?
Fucking Christ. He wants to, like, populate the council with clones, like obedient clones.
Oh, my God.
He wants all the judges to be obedient clones. Right. And we learn that that's what Dredd and Rico are.
Yeah, this movie has last-minute clones, and I always forget it.
Uh-huh.
Every single time I watch it, I'm like, oh, right, clones.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Yeah, the part where they figure out that Judge Dredd is a clone, by the way, is when they look at the baby photo. And they're like, wait, this is doctored. And they do it by having like the cop accidentally look at the wrong photo.
Spend hours scanning the wrong photo.
Right, because they didn't know a good way to write this. And she's like, you bonehead, you did the wrong photo. And he's like, well, I mean, it just so happens that this one's also doctored. And then it's like Photoshop layers. And it's the silliest thing because it's like the photo. It's like they saved it as a Photoshop and never got rid of the layers. Why would you ever do that? But he scanned the photo, right? It's like a physical photo. So it's like this hilarious future tech where nothing makes sense. And he's like the parents in this baby photo are completely like they're pixels, they're CG. And it's like, okay, I guess they didn't just hire models.
Yeah, they could have just had actors stand there.
But okay, they're computer generated, and he manages to take away the background and then add the lab background back into the photo that's been scanned.
Yeah,
and it's like, what's going on there?
Why is any of this still in there?
How is this? It's that time in the 90s where there were just like. We didn't know enough about computers that could just make them do complete magic tricks. Audiences would, I guess, accept it. Although it's hard to think that audiences watching this in 94 accepted that moment. But the technology in general, the part where they fly through the billboard and the billboard kills people.
Yeah.
Like, why would it do that? Why would the billboard kill people? What kind of world are we living in?
We're in the same world as the Star Wars universe, though, right? Because don't they have those in episode 2?
They do. Oh, my God. But... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the technology is about on par with Lucas's Star Wars Episode 2, I guess.
Also, like during that sequence, that like chase sequence, like Dredd throws, I believe, another judge off of the bike, and it's like take a hike, creep. And I'm like, that's another
judge.
Law enforcement officer. He doesn't know what the conspiracy is. He just knows you were convicted of murder.
Yeah. That sequence is insufferable because
we're
skipping ahead.
It's just Rob Schneider screaming.
Yes, it's just Rob Schneider screeching and being like, I peed myself. Rob Schneider, I can't stress enough how awful he is.
Right. He doesn't say a single funny thing entire film.
Yeah. The part where we find out the city is exporting fire. They're outside in the desert. We're skipping around, but they're outside in this desert and they have to get back into the city via fire tube. And it's this duct that fires flames every 30 seconds for some reason. Whatever.
Yeah, we're given some kind of jib jab about how it's like an exhaust or something.
Right. It's like in the movie The Rock where it was like, all right, sure.
Yeah. Whatever the hell this is.
Yeah.
All right.
So they run through the tube and they're counting down. And Rob Schneider falls. Now, Rob Schneider, as we've established, is like 30. Mm-hmm. He's not 6. But mm-hmm. he falls on the ground, doesn't get back up, and just yells, Dredd! Dredd!
He just sits there. Wailing for Dredd. Now,
yeah, and then Dredd...
He turns and runs back, but there's a scene on the outside where he's like, you run through the pipe. And then he's like, no, I'm not going until you apologize. Like, I'm not apologizing to you.
Right.
And he's like, well, I'm not going until you apologize. And like, he's negotiating with him for a minute. And I'm like, why does Dredd care whether this guy comes with him or not? He doesn't need him for anything.
Yeah. Why anything? Why didn't Dredd just execute this man in the desert and eat his flesh?
Right.
I would have accepted that. I don't care how out of character it technically would be.
Why would he turn back and pick this man up who's already dead? Like, there's no reason they should have survived this because they lost like 10 seconds for him to pick Rob Schneider's ass back up.
Yeah, who can stand up? He can stand up. He can stand up at any time. At any point, he could stand up, but he just screams for Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
Good God. I wanted him to get eaten by the weird hillbillies, cannibals.
Oh, that would have been delightful, yeah. That just incidentally happens, by the way.
Yeah, that doesn't have
Dredd
anything.
Dredd should have spent the rest of his life in the Aspen penal colony, but they just happened to get shot down by cannibals in the desert.
Right. This movie has no... It just... And then.
Within walking distance of the city.
Right. Yeah, they're like 5 minutes on that plane.
Right. It's supposed
and these
to be,
hillbillies
the
are
entire
supposed to be like,
Earth is this blasted wasteland, and they just happen to get shot down within walking distance.
And these like infamous hillbillies are apparently like a stone's throw from the city that they could have. Yeah, Lord help the woman who birthed those cannibal kids.
Oh Lord, I don't know, man.
I'm sure she was consumed by them eventually. The robot guy calls him Paw.
Let me kill him, Paul.
Oh, boy.
That action sequence, by the way, has two moments where a bad guy comes alive to kill someone and then is shot.
Yep.
To the point, like, the first one is killed by our Obi-Wan, Max von Sydow.
Max von Sydow, yep.
And then I forget what happens to the second one. But the second one, Rob Schneider even says, oh, no, not again.
Yeah. Well, like, he gets shot by Max von Sydow, and then
Cyborg comes alive and
stabs Max von Sydow, and then Dredd electrocutes him to death.
Right. What a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Also, this is a weird moment. I had this in my notes that happens before this, where Rico's talking to, what's his name? Das Boot.
Jürgen.
And the Das Boot tells him, like, I need fear. And he goes, you want fear? I'm fear. You want chaos? I am chaos. And then proceeds to push over a bust that doesn't break. It's the saddest moment I've ever seen from a bad guy. He's like, watch as I knock down this piece of art that doesn't even break.
That just... heavily hits the floor.
Oh, I am chaos. Tremble before me as I knock down this chunk of marble.
He has a bunch of delightful moments.
He really does.
He bugs his eyes out as hard as possible.
Yeah.
Armand DeSante. He's like, these rounds of judges aren't going to be your puppets. They're going to be my brothers and sisters.
So good. Also, I love when they look at him, one of the henchmen, and goes to Dredd or to Armand DeSante, he looks a lot like you. And it's like, no, he doesn't.
There's a few moments where they say that.
Yeah, they're like, supposed I'm seeing double here.
Yeah, it's they're like, supposed to be clones.
No, they're not clones.
They're super clones.
Why would the movie even pretend that?
And like, the more Rico talks, the more you realize that Rico also was an anti-fascist revolutionary.
Right.
Because, like, you killed innocent people. And he's like, it was necessary to start a revolution.
Right.
It's like, and his whole goal was to take down the judge council and make all these clones. He's like, they could be mindless puppets or they could be human beings with free will.
Right. He's not wrong.
Like, he's going to make them be human beings and not these mindless drones.
Right.
Like, the more we learn about the supposed criminals, it's like, I think they're the heroes in this story.
Clones, by the way, they're first White Walkers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. White Walker
ghouls.
They're
only 60% done, which apparently they spend 60% of the cloning process as reptiles.
Yeah. How much money do you suppose this movie spent on just those clones that barely show up in this movie?
This movie was not cheap.
No. It looks good.
It's a good-looking movie, for sure.
It just doesn't amount to anything. That robot... looked
the robot's
good.
Dope. Yeah.
I don't know why it's in here. It barely
to
does
be
much.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. But like, there's so many elements where it's like, why did you do all this? You should have thought about writing the movie first.
Yeah, it's a lot of resolution happens very abruptly in this film. Like,
yes,
the clone is a wild thing to introduce in Act 3. Who was introduced along with an entirely new character.
Yes. The clones, I think, here's why I like the clones, because I'm always, it's like telling your kid in the car that it's going to be another hour when it's secretly only going to be 15 minutes. When the clones show up, my brain automatically assumes I have another 35, 40 minutes left of the movie. Because it's like, you can't introduce that.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie has like 10 minutes left. Like, maybe a little more at that point. But the clones show up, and then next thing you know, Judge Dredd is getting a very unearned Diane Lane kiss.
Right. Oh,
and
man.
The movie ends.
That's so weird.
Diane Lane, you're so much better than this. I guess most of them are better than this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this movie doesn't do
Schneider.
Anyone any favors.
Yeah.
Except maybe Rob Schneider. This is exactly as good as Rob Schneider is.
I mean, this is the best he gets, right?
Right. Like, he gets to run away from a fireball next to Stallone. That's his peak.
Right. This is probably, is this like his second best movie next to Demolition Man? Or is there some Adam Sandler movie that he's in that's better? I'm sure there's better movies out there, but in terms of like,
not where
big
he's
budget
not doing
films,
a racist accent. So
yeah,
no, I think this and Demolition Man.
I think that's it. I think he peaked Demolition Man.
Yep.
Man, you think, did this come before or after Demolition Man? Did Stallone?
After.
So Stallone was just like, get that Rob Schneider guy again. I liked him. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking hell. This fucking movie is ridiculous.
I like that there's a huge credit in the opening credits. It's like Judge Dredd uniform designed by Gianni Versace.
Right. Why did they do that? Why did that happen?
Because it was 1994, bro.
Yeah. Was that enough? Is that enough to justify it?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So I get that... I'm just going through random notes now because I wrote down a lot of notes.
Sure.
Okay, so the rich snobby guy makes a parking violation or driving without a license.
Yeah.
I get it that, like, okay, well, the car has to be impounded or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's safe to blow up a car in the middle of the street.
No, it also raises a ton of questions, because it's like the Judge Dredd universe is like a no... There's no flexibility here. So it's like, how could this guy have multiple warnings on right. his record? It's
You're like, right. Judges like don't give out warnings.
No, you don't get tickets in the Judge Dredd universe.
Right.
They fuck you up.
Well, okay. Because there is jail. So you
yeah,
can get
there's jail.
So I guess misdemeanors, there would be have to be some sort of, like, jaywalking, it's not like jail or execution. They probably would have to fine you. But you'd think they would, like, at least take away his license immediately or tow his car. But
right. Like I'm saying, at the
right,
very, very least,
that guy
wouldn't have that car anymore.
Right.
After the first time he parked it.
And I guess
illegally.
Now he doesn't, but, like...
Right.
You don't, like, shouldn't Judge Dredd get, like, vandalism and reckless endangerment? Can't he be judged for that? Because Diane Lane's like, oh, good, real smooth, but, like, Dredd. Mm-hmm. Like, he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be blowing up cars. Also, yeah, shouldn't they impound the car and then, like, sell it at auction? Or, like, give the guy a chance to get the car back? Like, I don't understand this system where they're just, like, resources are limited, I imagine. So I can't think that blowing up a car is the right course of action in that moment.
I mean, that
seems
why
really
we're
irresponsible.
Not, that's why we're not judge, jury, and executioner, man.
Right, that's fair.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Yeah, okay. This is a world where the word law is constantly growled by multiple characters, so all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Yeah.
If people
it's a real this movie's a real wild ride.
Yeah, this movie's a real fucking adventure.
Yeah, it is. I'm not going to lie.
It's weird that so much can happen in a movie though that
96 minutes.
96 minutes. Mm-hmm. So much can happen. Here's the thing. A lot happens in this movie. It's a mm-hmm. short movie and mm-hmm. yet I did not enjoy watching it. Like it's hard to watch because I would argue the action's not very good.
No,
the comedy is not very good.
The comedy is atrocious.
There is no there's no charisma whatsoever.
No.
The only character that I enjoyed watching was Rico.
Yeah, it's Armand Asante.
Yeah. But like you compared it to something like Demolition Man, which again, Sylvester Stallone is not very charismatic in that, but it's obviously it's better writing. The actors are more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, it's just like, I would say the action maybe is on par with Demolition Man.
Maybe it's more,
but in terms of like cheesy, fucking 90s action, it's just funny how these are two movies that were made around the same time
mm-hmm.
that are just as flashy and crazy. But one of them, I don't think I will watch this movie ever again.
You say that, but if you hang around me long enough, it's going to happen.
Well, okay. I'm sure in like 3 or 4 years, I'll be like, oh, Judge Dredd, I should watch that.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean is that after watching this movie, the mm-hmm. most I felt was like, thank God that's over with. I don't have to watch this movie again for a long, until I forget about the movie.
Right. That's about how often I watch it.
Right.
I forget, like every time I watch it, there's like chunks of it that I'm like, oh yeah, that happens.
Oh yeah, I'll amend this. I'm never gonna, this is a movie I'm never gonna sit and give my full attention ever again.
Oh no. No, you should never watch this movie by yourself.
Yeah. I don't think, even with people, I think you just end up talking about how your day went.
Yeah.
Like, it's, that's what I mean is that it's, like it's not, it's not a fun... I don't think it's that fun of a watch.
I don't know. I like... This is like my kind of cheese.
Right.
It's
brand of cheese.
It's my brand of cheese. And you compared it to Demolition Man, which I don't consider cheese. I consider Demolition Man a good film.
Demolition Man's great. That's a fantastic film. It's got some cheese in it. It's cheesy.
A little bit.
It's a rat burger with cheese. but it's a great film.
But it's sweet. This movie is just dumb. But
yeah, well, Rob Schneider really kills this movie for me.
I just click my heels every time I watch it. I don't know why.
Right. Because, like, Demolition Man has humor that I genuinely like, too.
Yeah, no, it's a genuinely good movie.
Again, it still has cheese. Like, the moment they're like, hey, Dennis Leary, can you do a tight five real quick? Mm-hmm. Like, those moments are like, oh, Christ, 90s. But for the most part, it still holds up. This, I don't think, holds up because Rob Schneider is a huge part of this movie. This movie is hanging on Rob Schneider.
Yeah, he wails his way through it.
Yeah, and he just doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
He's insufferable.
That's the thing
is Rob Schneider, he doesn't seem like a great guy, at least everything I see about him on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He plays often racist characters. Mm-hmm. But it's he himself as a human, as a performer, he doesn't bother me in the sense that I'm sure you could give him good lines to say, like him in SNL, he was fine. Does that make sense? Is like,
yeah,
it's not, there's nothing about him that bothered me. Not the tone of his voice, not his face. Like you could technically, like if someone quantum leaped into him, like you could probably get a good performance. Mm-hmm. It's just that every time he shows up in a movie, I don't know if it's him getting to improv or just his buddy Adam Sandler being like, yeah, sure, you can do that voice. But it's awful.
It's terrible. Yeah.
His best performance is, I think, Demolition Man, because he wasn't like, I don't know, big enough, or they didn't give a, they were just, they knew to be like, hey, just say the lines on the page.
Right, but he does it well in Demolition Man.
He does. That's what I mean, is like, he seems like he's capable of a good performance.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
It seems like in this movie, they're just like, just be, you know, your own wacky self. And it's like, oh, his self is intolerable.
Yeah, he is just the worst.
Yeah.
And so it's just that versus this fucking just big slab of Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
Just frowning and growling his way through everything. And I get why people, yeah, I get why you could find this entertaining. But I'm all Judge Dredded out.
I mean, it looks cool. That helps.
Yeah, it does look great. This is good on mute. This is a good mute movie.
Sure. Do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Put this movie on while you're like vacuuming. Sure.
Or doing your taxes or something.
Yeah. Fuck me up, Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm filling out my taxes.
Or I should say, yeah. Again, great. Yeah, great. Fucking Max von Sydow, Diane Lane. And then all those other people. It's great. Great cast.
Yeah.
How much does this movie cost?
Oh, too much.
Yeah, the production was a disaster, right?
Oh, yeah. No, this was a bomb. This is the beginning of the end for Stallone.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, this is... Oof. Oh, this cost $90
million. Woof.
You want to guess how much it made?
30.
No. It's technically way better than that, but not much better. Made $113 million.
Mm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
they made a couple bucks off of it, but they knew. They? Yeah.
Did they?
It's got 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is a solid 17%.
Sure.
It was Siskel and Ebert made it one of the worst of 1995. It's mostly got praised for its, you know, pre-CGI effects and costumes, which is fair.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing. You look at the Dread remake, they sort of knew. They were like, yeah, the costumes are fine. Like, they pretty much, you know, they grittied it up a little bit.
Yeah, they tone it down some because what looks good in a comic book frequently looks stupid as hell in a movie.
Yeah, as evidenced by this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, I don't know, man. You have any other things about Judge Dredd?
No.
Anything you want the world to know? What did this director do? I mean, hold on.
It's Danny Cannon.
Let me look at this.
He's directed a lot of Gotham.
Oh, weird. He, Wait. Oh, no.
I still know what you did last summer.
He directed Geostorm.
Oh, fucking hell, did he?
Wait, did he? No, Dean Devlin did. Hold on. Why is his Wikipedia lying to me? They have him credited as director of Geostorm, but Dean Devlin
ever do that again?
Did it. What the fuck kind of shit is this? This is Wikipedia's fault. I blame Wikipedia.
Sure.
Why would it do that to me? Inaccurate. That was very mean of you, Wikipedia.
I mean, he definitely directed I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, that sounds about
that
right.
That is a Danny Cannon joint.
Right. Yeah, I feel like he wasn't allowed to do too much else after that.
No, right? No. He kind of went to TV and stayed there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he's working on Pennyworth right now.
Sure.
And Gotham. So, keep an eye out for that.
Mm-hmm. Check him out on Gotham.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gotham. Okay. Well, shit, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this experience. I hope you... do you think people should watch Judge Dredd? I think people know at this point whether they should watch Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I think they know how we feel about it.
And they probably know how they feel about it. They've either watched it already or... I guess the question is this movie so bad that it's fun? And the answer is watch it with friends.
Yes, 100% watch it with friends.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, have a few drinks in you to loosen you up or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you might end up just like talking over the movie and forgetting it's there.
Yeah. I mean, you'll look over at it from time to time.
Right. Because the movie's got a lot going on, but it's generally kind of a Hollywood film, so it's... I don't want to say predictable, but it's just, I don't know, man. It's weird enough. It's weird enough to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
robot rips Jürgen Prochnow's arms off.
Right. That's pretty great. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that as a kid being fucked up by it.
I remember that being awesome.
Freaky. Yeah. So yeah, shit. Thanks for everything, guys. Thanks to Nolan Matten for making us choose, making us flip that coin.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Mm.
Check those both out. They're delicious. We have other patron tiers. There's a tier where we watch movies such as Judge Dredd.
Like Judge
every
Dredd,
Friday.
Yeah.
Yep.
That we've watched Judge Dredd a
fairly recently.
A few months ago. Yeah.
So yeah, check it out.
Do that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know what else? We also got a store. Holy shit.
It's true.
tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed where you can get all sorts of shirts. Not any Judge Dredd shirts, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have a shirt of Rob Schneider getting his arms and legs ripped off by the robot.
That would sell.
Yeah, I would buy it.
Yeah, I think we would all buy it.
Mm-hmm.
We are the law.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
I think so. Yeah, they give you one of those shirts when you become the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how everybody knows.